So tonight's VOD, obviously I'd like to focus on Rabbi Sharfman. Like in a certain sense, I guess after the tremendous Kavodat Torah that has paid him that we had the other night, I guess in one sense, it's a platform to give a hesped to talk about Rabbi Sharfman. I feel like I've been doing that for the past many weeks. I don't think a day has gone by that I haven't thought about Rabbi Sharfman multiple times during the day. And I try to talk about my personal relationship. I've known for Rabbi Sharfman for the past 25 years. In my lifespan, that's way more than half of my life. And definitely have a lot to say. First, I'd like to begin with just painting a little picture of the story of Rabbi Sharfman. I think people picked up little bits and pieces through different hespedim, perhaps reading different things. But Rabbi Sharfman's life story is a tremendous, tremendous lesson. Rabbi Sharfman was born 55 years ago. In fact, the week, Shabbat Shavuot Brachos, was the week of his bar mitzvah. I remember running into Rabbi Rosenstein, the executive director of the Yeshiva Tiferes Yisrael, who was a classmate of his from elementary school. And he remembered, you know, Baruch Dovid Aryeh, his bar mitzvah parsha, was in Bensonhurst. Mamash the week of Shabbat Shavuot Brachos. So Mamash lived a complete, I guess he just turned, you know, 55 years. And really his life story is deserving of many books. An amazing, amazing story. He was born into a family which had three, his father was a Rav, and before him he had three older sisters. My mother, in fact, is a classmate of his oldest sister. And my mother remembers that the day he was born, she says, I remember the day he was born. All her friends, everyone was so excited. The Sharfmans actually had a boy. The Sharfman had a boy. After three girls and a gap of, I believe, nearly 10 years, he was what you call a ben zikunim, the youngest child. And family, everyone was so excited, had this boy. He grew up like every normal kid. Good kid. I spoke extensively with his sister. She said he was a good kid. His parents never had problems with him. And Rahman al-Slan, well, he was by the age of 11, in the summer, camp time, it's away in camp. He was an Arna student until then. Things looked pretty well, though it did seem from some of the stories that his mother was sick for a while and he did see her suffering already before she passed away. But at the age of 11, his mother passed away. At the time his mother passed away, two of his sisters were already married, and the one sister who wasn't married was seriously dating her future chassan. So talk about being in a world all by yourself. No mother, no siblings in the house. Your father's a busy Rav. And you're 11 years old. That's a reason, like the Maspid said the other night, he didn't cry for the Nefteres by that Leviah of Rebbetzin, Hinda Sharfman. He didn't cry for his future Kala. Cried for an 11-year-old boy, this tall 11-year-old boy, who was sitting and saying Kaddish. You think about a story like that today, a kid growing up all by himself, 11 years old. What did the future that kid have? We would say, if Baruch Hashem, the kid grows up healthy, he has his mind, his heart, grows up to be nice from kid, Shomer Shabbos, that's a tremendous success. Chas Hashem, doesn't turn, go off the derech. No mother, no siblings in the house. That would be a big success. What if I told you that person went on to yeshiva for years and years and years, became big Talmud Chacham, went out, lived a life which he impacted hundreds upon hundreds, thousands of people, and lived his life as a Kiddush Hashem, was a sterling example that his Talmidim saw of what a Talmud Chacham, what Rebbe, a Baal Midos is. And in his Patira, it brought about tremendous Kiddush Hashem in his whole community, anyone who knew him, and in many spots around the world. That's such an amazing story. That's the story of Rabbi Sharfman. What I would like to do a little bit tonight is try to discuss, you know, there's many things said, but everyone has their own perspective. What struck me as a secret to Rabbi Sharfman's success? How did that little boy, the big little kid, go from 11-year-old Yosem to be somebody who his name has gone from here to there? Tremendous, tremendous Kiddush Hashem. How's it happen? So Rabbi Luban in his Hesped spoke about Rabbi Sharfman's heart, his life. He quoted multiple chazals, the importance of a Lev Tov. Chazal say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Liba Ba'i, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants a person's heart. Perhaps Rabbi Sharfman was born with a tremendous heart. Sounded from one of the Hespedim. I didn't check this up after. He traces his lineage either way back to Levi Yisrael Mibartichov. Boy, is that without a heart. Chasidus. But Rabbi Sharfman, there's no question about it, something we could all attest to and understand and know, was somebody with a very big heart. And I think, the point that Rabbi Luban said, Rabbi Sharfman's heart was the secret behind everything. The heart of a child broken at the age of 11, torn apart for some time before by seeing his mother suffering, broken when his mother passed away. But somehow, Schos Avos, Siyata Deshmaya, Musar, Torah, that heart was mended together. And as perhaps we'll see, that a heart carried with it the weight of a family, the weight of a yeshiva, and inspired so many. First time I met Rabbi Sharfman, I was in ninth grade. In fact, you know, you hear these stories come out. My father-in-law said over when they were thinking about hiring him for the yeshiva here in Miami, he originally was very positive thinking about the idea. But then when he came down and he was a little rough on, you know, yeshiva's not a camp, all these extracurricular activities, pretty funny, he's just coming out cold again. But he was a little nervous about hiring him. So my father told the story that he called up Rav Shlomo Yonason Harris, who was then the Menahel of the Sifta in Queens. And Rav Shlomo Yonason said, yeah, you shall hire him. Because I remember him as a Bekiyas Rebbe. In ninth grade, he had a very, very strong kesher with the boys. I could testify to that because I was in that class. Came to ninth grade, schnook from Brooklyn. A few of my friends are schnooks. And I do remember Rabbi Sharfman putting me in my place pretty quickly. I tried acting up one time. I've told some of these stories over. Please forgive me. But I think I remember, I never skipped ninth grade in Ian, but Bekiyas, I was in a regular ninth grade chair. And I had my persona at that point was not, you know, a goody-goody just yet. And I think I was misbehaving a little bit in class. And Rabbi Sharfman like walked over to my desk. I still remember the scene. I was sitting towards the right side of the room, first desk. He he walks over to my desk and just like leans over me. Tremendously intimidating with a 6'4" frame. I said at that point, okay, it's a smart decision to behave. And I think I started behaving a little bit better at that point. I remember the yeshiva had a Shabbaton in Forest Hills back in the day. And Shabbos afternoon, me and my friend, well, Shmuley, we'll call him. Shmuley said, hey, let's go visit Rabbi Sharfman. To be honest, I guess I wasn't playing baseball or basketball at that moment, Shabbos afternoon. And let's go visit Rabbi Sharfman. I guess I appreciated Rabbi Sharfman enough, liked him enough at that point. So we walked from Kessel Street all the way down to Burns Street. Went to the apartment building there in Burns. We got in. We went up, we found Rabbi Sharfman's apartment. I remember we waited by the door. You know, this is Shabbos afternoon. You know, years later, you reflect back. Boy, you're bothering your Rebbe, who by then, let me clarify, was in Kolo. He was a Kolo guy. This is like, I wouldn't even call it a part-time job. He taught one shir Bekiyas in the afternoon. You know, these Kolo guys just teach Bekiyas in Queens. I still remember the days that he gave us Bekiyas tests. He didn't have time to eat lunch. He'd bring his lunch with him. He'd put it down the desk while we're taking the test. He's eating lunch. I still remember that scene. So Rabbi Sharfman, it's not a full-time Rebbe. He's not a part-time Rebbe. He gave a Bekiyas share. And Shabbos afternoon, guys are knocking on his door. Hey, Rebbe. I want to say hi. Invites us in. Him and his Rebbetzin. It wasn't once. Okay, you go to sleep. I'll handle them. His Rebbetzin brought out ice cream. We sat and ate ice cream and we schmoozed. There was a certain warmth that Rabbi Sharfman and his house had. Welcoming warmth. I remember that well. Quite well. I had a very good year. I still remember. It was Maseches Baba Kama. We learned Perek Shor Shnagel Kasapara. When they came out with the idea of doing Shast, and then the Shmaso, I was online in a store. They came out with it like right after Levaya. Busy, I called up a friend of mine and said, do me a favor, like, go online for me. Can you sign me up for Perek Shor Shnagel Kasapara? I'll do the Perek I learned with him in ninth grade. God, my friend signed me up for the wrong parak. Okay, so I'll do two parakim, whatever. Azasha. But that stayed with me. I had a very positive experience with him in ninth grade. And fast forward a few years, I guess 5 years later, by then I finished Masifta. I went to learn in Eretz Yisrael for a couple of years. I was back in Queens. My mentality when I came back to Queens is, I heard about this business called branching, but the only place I'm going to go branching is Eretz Yisrael. Anywhere else. That first year I was there, I remember they tried to draft me Pesach time to go branch in Miami. Rabbi Grumbach called me up on the payphones. I'm like, me and Rabbi Grumbach, I should Yishma Bacolo. Who is he? Oh, Rabbi Lubans Chavrusa. I got pottered with an excuse. I spoke to Rabbi Harris. My grandma's whole argument was speak to Rabbi Harris. I spoke to Rabbi Harris. I'm like, Rebbe, I'm trying to get a kesher with you. Why should I go to this Rabbi Grumblatt? Harris, like, I told Rabbi Grumblatt, okay, so fine. The next year, I'm learning in Queens, and Rabbi Minkowitz calls me out one day into the hallway. He brought me actually upstairs. Down to the basement, we came up to the first floor, and he tells me Miami's having a crisis. It's the first year they have a really decent-sized basement. I think they had 20 guys. And Rahmul Atzlan guys were not happy in the yeshiva. It was like Hanukkah time, and guys were packing out of the yeshiva. Guys were leaving right and left. And guys weren't happy. And then Rabbi Minkowitz said the line, I don't think he realized what it meant to me when he said it. He said, Rabbi Sharfman got so frustrated, he just stormed out of the Anhala meeting. My heart broke. Like, I appreciated a lot who Rabbi Sharfman was. I cherished my relationship with him. And when he told me, I would come back a call, but Rabbi Sharfman like, needs help. Okay, next plane. Here we go. And the Maisa, I came to Miami. I thought originally I'll stay for 4 weeks. Ended up being 4.5, 5 months. But that period I spent with Rabbi Sharfman, just the way he greeted me, anytime he would see me, he would give me a hug. I never had a Rebbe, you know, that just hugged you in those days. Like Rebbeim shook your hands, you know, Shalom Aleichem, nice. Warm Shalom Aleichem. Like, he would just hug people. If you find any Rebbe today that hugs a Talmud, it comes from Rabbi Sharfman. He was the first Rebbe, just went out, just warmth, and just enveloped, hugged you. He was always bigger than you. Felt so much bigger. And the respect that I had for him only grew, the warmth. And it was an amazing, amazing thing. I stayed in Miami, ended up branching for 2 straight years. I came, went back to Queens, was Hanukkah to Pesach, in the Ibra Yor, went back to Queens, Pesach to the end of the Zman. Then they asked me, it was Rabbi Grimat's last year, the first year, and the second year was Rabbi Luban's first year. So they asked me if I could come, gave me branch plot share credit. So I came from Luban from Elul to Hanukkah the following year. So I might have spent 1 year with Rabbi Grimat, 1 year with Rabbi Luban in Miami, but both times Rabbi Sharfman was there. Spent a tremendous amount of time with him. And Lamaisa, post that through the years, I didn't marry somebody who lived in Miami, but I ended up marrying somebody who came from Miami. I spent a lot of time with Rabbi Sharfman on different things. My brother told me, pretty eerie, but the English date of the Shloshim was the English date that I got engaged, you know, years before. And my brother tells me, you know, happy engagement anniversary, sends me a text that Sunday night. He's like, I still remember the hug I got from Rabbi Sharfman the next morning after he got engaged. My brother was learning in Miami. He said, you know, he was a bacher then, the flights, you know, he didn't fly in for the Vart. But he says he remembers the way Rabbi Sharfman gave him such a hug, you know, knowing who I was and who the other side was and this. He said he still remembers that hug years later. So Rabbi Sharfman, I could go story after story, was a person who had such a tremendous heart, such warmth exude from him. Now, he had a tough job. He also had to be mashgiach, and he also had to be tough. But the warmth that he had was unbelievable. Unbelievable. Chazal say, go back to Chazal, come back. The same Mishnah Rabbi Luban quoted. Mishnah in this week's Pirkei Avos. Perek Bey's Mishnah Tess. It talks about a Lev Tov. But a little bit before that, Rabbi Niona comments on Rabbi Yeshua's words that Derech Yishar Shiyidbak Ba'al Adam, Rabbi Yeshua says, is a Chavar Tov. Rabbi Yonah says amazing words. I'm sure some of you might have seen this once. What's a lomar? Sheyidbak al derech hayasher hazeh. V'nakol holiyos chaver tov. V'li leiv v'leiv l'ish echad. Asher li b'chafis l'hargal atzmo imo. You know what? You know we should be marguing this often? To have be a chaver tov, be a good friend, invest in one person, shtei ruach achas noche meno, kein yavo be'ava im kol prios. By being a good friend to one person, you'll become a good friend to the whole world. And the obvious kasha people ask in this Rabbeinu Yonah is, well, shaychas, the fact that you could be a good friend to your good friends, what does it have to do with how's that become a good friend to everybody in the world? I believe the pshat, many have said, is that if a person really invests and really cares about a friend, you care about, Yain Echanami is your best friend, but you care about him, his needs, what he really needs in life, You're not just doing it for yourself, you're doing it for him, but you really genuinely care for that other person. That creates such a response in the person's heart of who you are. You become a different person. That same feeling of dedication, of care and concern that you have for another person, you could take those real feelings and just transport them to anyone else in the world. The secret to being somebody who cares about the whole world is you really care about individual people. This friend of yours, you really care? It'll grow from there to the rest of the world. I guess regular people that don't, it's because they don't fully care. But Lo Yitzhar, a person really did, you'll take that feeling and transport it to somebody else. Rabbi Sharfman was a person, this heart of his was so strong. So strong. Someone wrote a letter how he was a contemporary of his in yeshiva. And he says, Rabbi Sharfman always had the time and patience to explain a Gemara to him, to explain a Mishnah Berurah to him, and explained it to him again and again. People testified Rabbi Sharfman was very smart. His classmates say he's the smartest guy in the class, did well always. Sometimes people who are so bright, it's a challenge. Yeah, they'll help out people sometimes and this, but they're very, especially somebody who's self-motivated, driven. You know, do they have time to explain the Gemara, Nachamo, to somebody who needs help? But that's what he did when he was a Bachar. Years later, the guy sends a letter to the family. That's what he's talking about. He always had time for me to explain the Gemara to me. He always had patience to work it out for me. You want to know where someone becomes a great Rebbe? It's not a magical thing that happens overnight. It's a person's development from his all these years. Dedication, care, concern. There's a guy in yeshiva, another person in yeshiva from contemporary, wrote about how he struggled with many things in yeshiva, couldn't accept it, couldn't deal with it. And he looked up to Rabbi Sharfman in more ways than one. You know, he was an out-of-towner. Rabbi Sharfman was with it from in town, knew a lot of things. And the fact that Rabbi Sharfman took the time to explain things to him, show him how things work in yeshiva, he said, made such an impact in his life. That care and concern was there from his younger years to his friends. His friend Michael Schick testified that he didn't have a mean bone in his body. He was bigger than everybody else, but he didn't make himself the bully. But for care, he helped people out. And that Lev Tov, that Chavar Tov, just went and grew and grew and grew. That's how he used his Lev in terms of his friends. And it carried over. When he was a Rebbe, boy, did he care for his Talmidim. Boy, did he show warmth to his Talmidim. There's no playbook. Hug your Talmidim. That was just natural. That's what he was. He loved his Talmidim. Really, really did. He took it personal. You hear about the way he treated his family. I think everyone in this yeshiva could associate with that. He really focused on a guy. When he met with a person, he spoke to you, nobody else. Focused in. He treasured anything they would do in Ruchnias. His son Chaim talked about no budget when it comes to Svarim. Buy whatever you want to need from learning. Sharfman valued every person's growth and learning, every little thing. Pashat. Another step, this Lev, great heart that he had, I think we all saw very much so in terms of Limud HaTorah. We know that Limud HaTorah is not easy. Just today I was talking about the fact that's a big challenge. So, you know, Rabbi Sharfman said about One of the most important things he wanted his talmidim, or his children, to have inside of them was an avas Torah, a love for learning. Now, practically, it's not simple. Learning's hard. Some people get attracted to learning easier than others. Other people, it's much harder. But he wanted an avas Torah, something. People should be connected to learning. You know, you cut his veins, Torah will come out. Guys would joke about it, but it's no longer a joke. It's real. You know, all his vadim were chizik and Torah. You know, it's chizik and Torah in different titles. It's true. Because that was his essence. But both sides, we have to be machazik and learning. He just talked about Torah, 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 Torah. How do you do that? How do you machazik people 100 times? If that's every part of who you are. You want to know the secret for somebody who sat in yeshiva year after year after year after year, worked and worked and worked. It wasn't easy. Challenges. Did it for a while. Different things. But he worked and worked. He had a heart. His heart bled Torah. That's all it was about. And that avas Torah is something, you know, we could try to connect with, try to get. You know, I think everybody should listen to Avad from him now. You know, fortunately, we can't have new ones. But Baruch Hashem, there are multiple Vadim available. Yeshiva has. The family, I think, is looking to collect more and more other things. Perhaps guys themselves have recordings. I should pass it over to the family, pass it to the guys too, to listen to Vad. You know, we're coming into the Yontif of Shavuos, preparing, according to the Sefer HaChinuch, the idea of Sefiras HaOmer is to prepare for Kabbalah Satorah. We're counting down the days to Kabbalah Satorah. Each day, we're supposed to get closer to the Torah. I think Rabbi Sharfman used these words. We have to make a shidduch with the Torah. To make a shidduch with the Torah. How do you do that? If, you know, there's a shidduch that you're interested in, you'll dress the part, try to be careful to say the right things, don't say the wrong things. You'll focus in, you prepare yourself. Well, Shavuos is coming. And we're supposed to connect with the Torah. So yeah, you have to make your person self. Okay, maybe twofold. Maybe I could exhort more efforts, work on my midos, different things to now to connect more with the Torah. Maybe I could remove things in my life, add things to my life, like sleep. Things which will help me connect more with the Torah, whatever it would be. Torah, 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 Torah. He talked and he talked. He talked about Torah. I was listening to one of the Vadim recently that he said. He talked about also in Yonah Yom. He talked about the sphere period of Talmid Rabbi Akiva. How many times I remember I listened to the Vad. Fortunately, on a normal basis, I didn't come to his Vad. I heard sometimes overheard the Musa Chaburas at 3:15 or at 3:55 or 4 o'clock, I would sometimes hear. But I remember sitting with him. We went recruiting last year in Queens. Remember, he spoke. The same shmooze he said over a few times ago at Avad. He said over by Queens when we went recruiting, the Rabbi Kiva shmooze, about the impact. Rabbi Kiva didn't see the impact. Drip and drip on the rock, but after a while it makes an impact, it transforms a person. That's what Torah is. We don't see the impact that it has right away, but over time it makes you a different person. Torah, Torah, Torah. That heart just talked about Torah, Torah, Torah. He was motivating other people with the heart that motivated him. A person that motivates himself to learn, to work against challenges you have in life. You know, his mother didn't walk him down to the chuppah. But he worked. I remember he treasured. He had a picture with the Rosh Hashiva at his chasana. I remember from the old house. I'm not sure in the new house. Remember. He had it hanging there. Of him and the Rosh Hashiva. It's on the table, right? The middle room. On the table in front. I got it. But I remember. Okay. Some people spent more time there than me. But, you know, that Torah, that lathe gave him so much drive for Torah. Okay. And he continued to use that for his own growth. They talked about by the Levaya how he himself had his own personal Torah learning for growth, not for any share, just for his own Yedias HaTorah, his growth in Torah. So a person still driven in Torah. But he also spread that drive that he had, that heart that he had, with other people. It's not something that snaps on when you're a Rebbe. It's something that he developed year after year in yeshiva. I'll tell you a third area. His heart was a heart which was tremendous warmth bein al mochavero to his friends from yeshiva, to his talmidim nowadays, to his family. His heart was a heart which drove him to succeed in learning, and he passed on that drive to his talmidim. But I think there's a third area which, to be honest, nobody focused on at the Levaya, at the Shloshim. I think it was a major, major aspect of him. He had tremendous, tremendous hakaras hatov for anyone who did anything to him. I can tell you story after story. I remember myself when I branched there. So, not going into it at the moment, but let's just say there was quite a bit of turmoil here in Miami back in those days. And came a point in time, you know, guys needed chavrusas, there weren't enough guys, normal guys to go around. And I was basically asked to learn with a guy in the branch. And I remember, I did it. To be honest, I didn't think I really lost out much. The guy was a good fella. We learned very well. I enjoyed it. Went great. Rabbi Sharfman would never stop thanking me for learning with that guy. Never stop. Like, he kept on talking about it. I thank you so much for learning with Machol. And I kept on thinking to myself, wait, is he talking about what I did? But that wasn't such a big deal. Okay, yeah, thank you. I did it, you're right. It's like an older guy, I'm learning. The younger guy, fine. But he never stopped thanking me about it. I was like, day in and day out, thank you very much, thank you very much. Like, when somebody did a chesed, that year in Purim, they played a song to the Journey's tune, the Shachan says, this time it will be different. The played Rabbi Sharfman says, this time it will be different. I heard that song so many times before. It was like constantly guys are breaking up with chavrusas, and Rabbi Sharfman was trying to make new shidduchim, and it was just disasters. So the fact that I saved one guy from that Shachan song, he was so makar tov. Amazing. Amazing. But again and again, Avraham Eliezer Friedman told me a story how he built the frame for Rabbi Sharfman's sukkah. He says every single year, he did this as a bachur years ago, every single year without exception, Rabbi Sharfman would go, make a joke, make a crack. Sukkah's still standing, I thank you so much. He made jokes, everyone else's sukkahs fell in the hurricane, but Friedman made it strong, still standing. Year after year, a guy did a chesed, okay, he's a baruch him, he's a yeshiva bacher. I'm sure he spent time eating meals by Rabbi Sharfman's house. But he built a sukkah. Year after year after year, all he would do is thank him for building that sukkah. Rabbi Schnittman is a Rebbe now in the elementary school. It sounds like he was in charge of some Mishnayos project. And he learned some Mishnayos on the side with Rabbi Sharfman's son, Avraham Mordechai. Schnittman said, day in and day out, all the time, he would see Rabbi Sharfman. Sharfman would thank him profusely for learning with his son. He wasn't his son's regular Rebbe. He learned with him some extra Mishnayos for some Mishnayos contest. All he would do was thank him. I think Rabbi Sharfman had tremendous understanding of Hakaras HaTov. but it was more so. His heart was such a heart, right? We all do Hakaras Tov. It's a Mida, Porna Mitzvah, to be Makar Tov. But when you have a heart, a greater heart, it makes a different Hakaras Tov. The same way Yaakov Hillel said a line when it came to Bein Amal Chavero, why is your father getting involved, somebody said. It's not his business. Why does he care so much? That's exactly the point. He cared more than other people because he had a bigger heart. He might have steiged more than other people because he had a bigger heart. He might have been more makar tov than other people because he had a bigger heart. And the heart is something that it's a drive, something, you know. Maybe you're not born with it, but people, it's something. You can be more of yourself, you can inspire yourself to do things. And first and foremost, I think everyone in this room, the entire yeshiva, for sure, the alumni of the yeshiva, when people talk about the Kiddush Hashem that went on in this neighborhood and in the world in general, a lot of the Kiddush Hashem stems from Talmidim in the yeshiva. Somebody during the whole thing going on, a person from outside the yeshiva, said that they have such pride. Look what a Talmud of the yeshiva could do. Guys really did so much for the family, for the situation. The idea of guys staying up all night learning, it was done by alumni, Talmidim, high school boys. And the same high school boys we sometimes, you know, chepper. 12th grader, I walked into the base medrash the night of the Zepetira. This whole group of 12th graders sitting there up all night. Guys did really a lot, caring for the family, trying to give some nechama to Zalmana, to Reb Sharfman. Guys have really, really done a lot. And, you know, I know Reb Sharfman would be whispering in my ear, got to thank the guys, 100%. Hope I did my job. Hope he would do it much better. But Lamaisa, we've talked about a little bit in yeshiva, different ideas, perhaps things we could do as a schus, le'il nishmaso. So I want to put forth a little idea that some guys have talked about, perhaps talk more to we'll talk more about it after. Just put forth an idea, and then I'll finish with Chazal and close. An idea that some people have suggested, which we talked about in the Anhala meeting today, and it was voted by the Anhala as the best idea for the meantime. We could do other things. But the idea is like this. You know, we do see Rabbi Sharfman's life revolved around Torah, 100%. Torah. The Maisa, in the yeshiva day, not so easy to add more Torah. It totally isn't. And it's understandable. It's, you know, guys are putting a lot of effort, and just keeping the Siddharm itself is a schus for Rabbi Sharfman. He's a mashgiach. It's a wonderful thing. But we thought of an idea for the interim between now and Shavuos, leading up to Kabbalah Sitar. We'll work out the exact details, but the idea was working towards Kabbalah Sitar, a Kolo Boker. Guys coming to learn. 15-20 minutes, 7:10, before davening. Doesn't have to be. Again, we'll talk about the specifics. It may not be hard for people to do that on a daily basis. Work out the details. But imagine if we had a group of guys show up and learn whatever people want 20 minutes before Shacharis. Obviously, that would mean the people would be here on time for Shacharis. But the guys told me so well. They were talking to Rebbe and Sharfman, and it was getting late, and the guys started quoting Vayerev. Rebbe and Sharfman finished by he boker all the way. She started by Vayerev, and the guys finished by he boker. But she was holding an ishmus. She was holding in the fact, I'm sure he ranted to her, the guy's got to go to bed earlier. How they expect to learn? No tosfos is understandable with 2 hours of sleep. But imagine if guys did go to sleep earlier because they want to get up for 20 minutes before Shacharis. Between now and Shavuos, short amount of time, we could have an honor roll of people who join Kol HaBoker. Perhaps we could celebrate together with the family in the schus of people learning, coming to Shavuos. Perhaps a nice idea, perhaps something, when we have the inspiration, not long term, between now and Shavuos, to try. It could be there are many people here never got up to learn before Shacharis in their lives. Do it one day, boy, that's a big thing. Guys, to do it would be a tremendous, tremendous schus. And I'm sure we could talk about individual things, other things, but this is one idea that Anhala would like to float to the Talmidim. Just like to end with one chazal. This life of Rabbi Sharfman, which was an inspiring life, an amazing life. One of the Talmidim appropriately said that, you know, after Reb Nosson Tzvi Finkel was nifter, he was very inspired by reading about how much adversity he overcame to become a great Rosh Hashiva. Here in Miami, we have our own Reb Nosson Tzvi story. By Sharfman, with his growing up 11-year-old Yosem, to rise to become a great Talmud Chacham, impact the lives of so many people. And in the last 10 years, despite times, not all the time, but times of challenges and health issues, Baffle Pekin, to give it his all for the yeshiva, is tremendously, tremendously inspiring. I think the line you'd say about Rabbi Sharfman is he might have been a big man, but he had an even bigger heart. The secret to all of his success was that heart which connected with people, connected with Torah, and was tremendously makar tov for anything that people did for him. That heart, the lave of a person, Chazal say, not just flesh and blood, it's the whole part of your neshama. That lave is still alive. And Chazal say, there's a Gemara in Shabbos, that a mitzvah of Bnei Yisrael from Kabbal, Besimcha, Adayin is Besimcha. Milo is a mitzvah, the Bnei Yisrael Makabal of Simcha. And Adayom Hazeh, Milo is something which Bnei Yisrael still celebrate, perhaps in some ways more than other mitzvahs, because originally they're Makabal of Simcha. What you see from that Chazal is it's not just what a person does, but the hargash of what he does. You do something, believe Shalem, do something with a heart, has a special schus that that lasts forever. Rabbi Sharfman lived his life with a big, big heart. His Torah, his sensitivity to others, all his good midos are things which we're not going to forget. It's going to live on. The schus of Rabbi Sharfman is in the walls of the yeshiva, can't be taken away. And we should all feel fortunate to have a piece, a chelek, in his life, as the guy said, when the Rebbetzin talked about the fact that how she knew all their stories, all their things, yes. We were all part of his life. He doesn't forget us. Baruch Hashem, he could do tremendous chosim for us as a male Yosher and Shemayim. We also should be somewhat inspired, very inspired, to do whatever we can to be makar tov on our part for the tremendous slave that he gave over to us. And as Hashem, to bring him many, many sources.